You're listening to SBS News.
The Morrison government has revealed its spending plans for the year ahead, announcing a temporary package to ease cost of living pressures and provide relief. The fuel excise will be cut in half for 6 months, and there's a one-off $420 cost of living tax offset for low and middle-income earners, along with a one-off $250 cost of living payment for pensioners and welfare recipients. But Australian Council of Social Services CEO Cassandra Goldie says the budget needs permanent solutions, not a temporary fix.
There's nothing in this budget that will lift up the incomes of people who have the least. We don't have anything to get people beyond $46 per day if you're a person who's unemployed. Whilst we welcome that we've got that $250 one-off payment being extended both to people who are on pensions and also people who are on allowances, if you're living on just $46 a day, that $250, it might help you for a week, it might just help you for two. But you've got to pay your rent every single week, 52 weeks of the year.
The Labor Party is less than impressed by the Treasurer's plans for cost of living relief. Shadow Treasurer Jim Chalmers has told SBS News that Mr. Frydenberg's figures are disguising the truth about the cost of living for most families.
There's two sides of the coin when it comes to cost of living. Skyrocketing costs that people are dealing with right now, falling real wages. That's why ordinary working families are falling further and further behind.
Mr. Chalmers claims there is no long-term plan behind the budget and that it is just a means to keep the coalition in power beyond the May election.
What this government's done is they've got a 6 or 7 week plan to get them through to the May election. They are incapable of seeing beyond that. So the difference between the parties is there will be cost of living relief no matter who wins the election in May. The difference will be that we have a plan for the future beyond that. The government doesn't.
Greens leader Adam Bandt says the budget has failed to tackle the climate inequality and housing crises.
This budget funds more coal and gas, locks in tax cuts for the very wealthy, and makes housing more expensive. There's over $38 billion in handouts to coal, oil and gas corporations, but no new money for renewable energy. There's $13 billion in handouts to the very wealthy to push up housing prices, but no new money for affordable housing. And people on low to middle income earners might get a one-off $420 payment, but billionaires get $9,000 a year forever.
Council on the Ageing Australia Chief Executive Ian Yates has welcomed the cost of living relief for older Australians.
Millions of older Australians will benefit from the cost of living relief tonight, including a very large number, of course, of age pensioners who will benefit from the $250. They've just had a significant increase, indexation increase in the pension, but that adjusts for costs that have already gone past. Clearly, we are in supermarkets and petrol houses facing significant price increases that $250 will help with, as indeed will the 22 cents a litre in petrol, particularly for older Australians living in regional and rural areas where they need to get in a car to see a doctor or visit the hospital or other essential services.
But he says he's disappointed by the absence of oral and dental health programs aimed at older Australians, despite recommendations to the Royal Commission into aged care. The government is investing a further $1.3 billion in women's safety under the next national plan to end violence against women and children 2022-23. Uniting Care Australia's National Director Claire Wynne-Little says this is a positive.
We'll welcome the $1.3 billion package for women's safety. Women's safety, we know in this country, is still one of our wicked problems, and we need to solve that as fast as we possibly can. So we do welcome that tonight, and we welcome the extension of the escaping violence payment. We also welcome and acknowledge the one-off payments for those in our community who are really feeling the squeeze of the cost of living. But we do believe that a structural problem, such as stagnant wages, needs a structural solution.
While the paid parental leave scheme now sees 20 weeks shared between two carers, Ms. Little says it's disappointing to see no sign of adding superannuation to the paid parental scheme and no wage increases for aged care workers. National Union of Students President Georgie Beattie says the cut to the fuel excise will make a difference for regional students, but there needs to be a plan beyond 6 months. She slammed the one-off payment for concession card holders.
A one-off $250 payment is not going to make up for a decade of neglect. It's not even going to make next week's rent. If Scott Morrison really wanted to help students, he would have raised the age, he would have lowered the age of independence from 22 to 18 so that students could get into university regardless of their parents' wealth or postcode, but based on the effort that they put in high school. And he would have raised Centrelink payments to above the Henderson poverty line.
The Australia Institute's Climate and Energy Program Director, Richie Merzian, says cuts to the fuel excise don't address the country's reliance on fossil fuels.
The government has left Australians hooked on foreign oil and done nothing to wean it off. Nothing on fuel efficiency standards, nothing on electrifying our cars, and very little on public and active transport. The fuel excise cut will be weaned away and wiped out within a few months at the current climbing rates of oil price increases. And that's if it's fully passed on to the Bowser.
There's a mixed reaction from the business community. While the increase in migrations numbers is welcomed, it's not thought to be enough to make up the ground that was lost during the pandemic. And with measures to increase investment in business, Andrew McKellar, the CEO of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, doesn't think there is enough of an agenda to fix problems in this budget. However, he feels the moves made to support the small business community will be a great help.
So for small business, we think those are certainly very positive measures. So for small business, those deductions are for upskilling, for training, for investment in digital technology, that's a very positive thing. And it goes along with the measures to improve cash flow and also to reduce the impact of compliance, introducing some smart deregulatory measures there. So I think on balance for small business, there are certainly some positive elements in the budget.
Ariana Lucente, SBS News.